And then we're going to do our vocal warm-ups, getting ready for the podcast.
Of course.
Bah, bah.
Meow.
Tip of the tongue, teeth, and lips. Tip of the tongue, teeth, and lips. Lynn,
I've been talking all day. Yeah. I'm ready. That's all I do is talk.
Okay.
We do that every single time.
It's a little peek behind the curtain.
Gotcha.
Of the podcast.
I'm just going to, like, next time I listen, like.
Yeah. Yep.
Just before this, they were going.
Brah!
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 Ba, ba.
Yee, yee. All right. Anyway, welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. My name is Daniel. Across from me is Nathan. We're brothers.
We read comics. And to throw off our groove this week, we have Lynn with us today. How's it going, Lynn?
I'm doing great.
Very special guest.
Honored to be here.
Yes. Most guests are. We got, you know, New York Times bestselling writers on. We got Eisner Award-winning comic book creators on. And now, up there on that pedestal is Lynn.
The most casual
our boy,
of comic
our boy
readers.
Lynn.
Our Lynn is here.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, I know you listen to the show every single week and without fail. Yeah.
Twice.
You're our biggest fan.
But
twice.
Twice all the way through. But, you know, I'm just going to explain things to you as if you don't listen every single week. But if you didn't know, you can find time codes in the description of every episode. And the beginning of that is the news, but you can also skip to when we talk about the book. This week is going to be Cosmic Ghost Rider, a very, very fun book. I'm excited to talk about it. Or you can skip to Back Matter Matters or The Pull List. So we'll get started with some of the news.
Another pretty heavy week, honestly.
Yeah, Lynn, what do you have for us? What news did you see this week?
Yes. How much did you prepare?
There's a gentleman named Lynn who's going to be appearing on a podcast this week.
Oh, wow.
Indeed. Look out for that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
One of the most legendary podcasts for comic book readers.
Yeah, right up there with...
Breaking news.
Yep.
Actually, dude, I downloaded this app, and it's like... It's kind of like a Tinder, but for like books and movies and podcasts. And you,
okay.
And you type in the shit that you like, and so that it knows what you like. And for podcasts, I'm like, I like the Trade Raiders podcast. And it was on there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no way. We're on that level.
Did you swipe right?
Absolutely. I super liked, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's an app called Likewise. I don't know if I like it so far yet, but.
If you found us on Likewise, let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know if you swiped right on us.
Let us know if you discovered us from Likewise.
I would be, if I saw our podcast on there, it'd be a hard swipe left. Definitely not.
Nah, fuck that shit.
Get that out of my face.
Anyway.
That's pretty fun news.
Yeah, but so, in other news.
In real news, I did hear, I don't know if this is breaking news or if it's something we already know, but I heard Shuri, who we, I think, already know is going to be the new Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially.
Has signed to, well, I think it's confirmed.
Okay.
And she has 12 appearances.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of appearances.
For 12 movies?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, damn. You are doing good. I had no idea.
That's like 20 years.
And they said that she is going to be the leader of a group. We don't know what group.
A-Force?
So, I
maybe
think that's
like,
kind of exciting.
Oh, like leader of like a group movie? Or like
I think
just
like a,
some sort of leader
maybe.
Of a group?
A group, man.
Because it could just be like leader of Wakanda, leader of like Dora Milaje.
No, I think
could
it's
be
like,
Young Avengers.
Maybe that, like, an
years.
Actual superhero group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 years is crazy.
That
she basically looked 12 in Black
wait,
Panther.
Is it 12
so.
Years or 12 appearances? Well, 12
appearances.
Or 12,
like
appearances.
Appearances,
12
so.
Appearances. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
That's
very
exciting.
Cool. Yeah, sweet. So then I can imagine that she would be very heavily involved in Black Panther stuff, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would make sense if the title went to her.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Also, on top of that, I heard the narrative of Black Panther will follow, will flow directly into the Ironheart TV series.
Yeah, so Ironheart's going to make her first appearance in the next Black Panther movie.
Correct.
Before so, the show, so that's pretty cool.
It's exciting news.
Are you familiar with Ironheart?
Not really.
Me neither. I haven't read anything from her, but I'm aware of her character.
She's an MIT student.
She's very smart.
Yeah, she. I guess the mantle of Iron Man was passed down to her. She's super smart, and,
yeah.
You know, it's an Iron Man suit that has boobs on it.
An interesting part with her character is that her AI is Tony Stark, and that Tony Stark is dead at that time. Mm. So who knows what will happen there. It might continue to be Friday or whoever it is right now.
Right.
Because it's not Jarvis anymore because he's obviously the Vision.
I don't think RDJ would sign on just to be like an AI like in those movies.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Unless like his workload just really ramps down. You know?
I guess he can definitely play it by ear.
Sure.
There's a Black Canary movie in the works at HBO Max.
Solo film, yeah. But the
and it's going to have Journey Smollett reprise her role, which is the person who played her in Birds of Prey.
Correct.
So it's going to be this person. Did you ever see Birds of Prey?
I did not.
Oh, that's a good movie.
What?
I'll probably watch it now.
You just missed a movie. You just missed a movie?
Missed a whole comic book movie?
I did.
That's
I
a prerequisite to be on this podcast.
You'll find that I'm more of a casual comic book fan.
Yeah.
No, that's a movie, though. You love the movies.
You like movies?
You don't like the...
Well, I didn't realize it was a comic book movie.
Birds of Prey.
I just saw Birds of Prey, and I'm like, that doesn't look that cool.
It had Harley Quinn in it. You didn't think, like, oh, that's a comic book character?
It's fine.
Yeah. I'll watch it. I'll watch it and let you know what I think.
To be honest, it was a really weird release, because remember when they changed it halfway through to Harley Quinn? Yeah. It was like a Harley Quinn... They like, changed the title.
They had this really long subtitle. It was, like, Birds of Prey... In the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And then a week into its release, it didn't do very well. And so they just changed it to Birds of Prey, : Harley Quinn.
Was it good?
I liked it.
I liked it. Yeah. It's not like top five or anything DC movies, but it was still like a really good movie. And the action was like insane.
If you've seen a solid chunk of like recent DC movies, it's probably better than a few of those.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
I feel like that's not hard to do, though.
You got Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor is a great... villain in Black Mask, so that he's mainly why I enjoyed it, but there's some good Harley Quinn stuff in there too.
Yeah,
nice.
We got a new book called Aquaman: The Becoming. It has Aqualad on the cover. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing he's getting his own series coming September 21st
by
Brendan Thomas and Diego Olortegui.
Nailed it.
Yeah,
that's probably right.
Daniel, are you familiar with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Dude, yes I am.
Are you familiar with the Robert Kirkman comic Oblivion song?
Yes, I am.
Well, apparently, Oscar nominee Jake Gyllenhaal, he hasn't won an Oscar.
There's a lot of actors like that.
Oh, I feel like he deserves it.
Like, but Johnny Depp never got one.
Oscar nominee Jake Gyllenhaal is set to produce and star in Oblivion Song, a film based off of acclaimed series of graphic novels by Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo De Felici.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to like finish that book now.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Oblivion Song?
I have not.
It's by the creator of like Walking Dead and Invincible.
Oh, okay.
It's like that same writer, and he's doing like it's a different book with different artists and everything, but it's kind of hard to explain.
It's there's a square mile in Philadelphia that was like
just disappears.
Just swapped with another quarter mile of like an alternate universe. And so there's like monsters and shit that all came. And then so everyone that was in Philadelphia went to that alternate universe.
Oh, shit.
And so there's this guy who has the technology to go back and forward. And he goes and saves people. And then he like also deals with the repercussions of that in America and stuff. Man.
So supposedly Jake Gyllenhaal will be that guy.
It's insane art. The colors are nuts. Yeah,
unbelievable monsters and stuff like that.
Put that on the read list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's really easy to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was like today news. It was very exciting.
Oh, I found it out a couple days ago.
But. Oh, wow. inside.
Yeah. Got a little bit insider information from Deadline Hollywood.
Did you have any other news, Lynn?
No. That's about it. That's all I got.
Nathan.
New Batman writer.
Fuck. Yeah, Joshua Williamson will be in Jorge Molina to be on Batman 118.
In December.
After
which is
James Tynion IV.
Yeah, so there was an independent newsletter company that wants to do comics, and they put so much money behind it that they got the current writer of Batman and the Joker series going on at DC like right now to go exclusive to that platform. So he's leaving his like Batman stuff, apparently.
Oh, wow. So it's like comics are like emailed to you.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there will be comics supposedly that'll be distributed digitally through that platform, as well as people like the writers can be like, here's how I came up with this idea, and like show a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. And so we didn't know who the new Batman writer is going to be until right now, Joshua Williamson. So he's done a bunch of stuff. He's done like The Flash, Infinite Frontier going on right now.
He did an independent book called Birthright, which is really good.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, he's been around
he's
quite
fun.
A while.
Yeah.
I met him at Comic-Con. He signed a couple of my books.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, yeah.
He did the
you remember
Frostbite book. Do you remember
that? Oh, yeah, that one's super fun. That was a good fucking book. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Ice Age 2, basically, is the concept behind that book.
And it was like a horror book, right?
It was a horror book, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was good.
It was good.
We need to read that. Anyway, Nathan.
Daniel.
You know Boba Fett?
I'm familiar.
You know his controversially named ship, Slave One?
Yeah.
And War of the Bounty Hunters, they renamed it.
To Butterfly.
To Fire Spray.
Yeah, I heard that. It's not a very good name, I don't think.
It
doesn't spray much fire. It sprays lasers.
I mean, I think it might spray fire at some point.
Maybe.
But anyway, that's new and something I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there was a...
Shang-Chi, Nathan.
What about Shang-Chi, Daniel?
It's got 94% Rotten Tomatoes so far.
Good for him.
Based off the people who've seen it exclusively.
I'm excited.
Who knows what that means?
Are you excited for Shang-Chi?
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you have tickets yet? Because we do.
We just got tickets, apparently.
We got them, like, today.
You guys didn't tell me.
Oh,
dude,
shit.
The fucking theater.
Edit it out.
The theater is wide open. You can go.
There was, like, 3 seats taken.
Are you guys doing opening night?
Yeah. So, okay. Next Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Sick, dude. We'll get you the deets.
GamesCon 2021 happened.
Yep.
I think it's happening right now. But this week, Marvel announced a new video game called Marvel's Midnight Suns. Mm-hmm. Which is, we don't really know much about it yet, but it's going to be focused on a bunch of, like, supernatural characters. And it's going to be based off of the comic Midnight Suns, which I didn't know was a thing. But it's supernatural based. It's going to have, like, Blade in there, Doctor Strange, and a couple of different supernatural characters.
Like Wolverine.
Wolverine's going to be in there. Well, they have, like, some people that, like, aren't normally in the supernatural stuff to make it fun. But, like... Magic is in there from the X-Men. Nico Minoru, who's from The Runaways. Captain Marvel is in there. Then there's Blade, Captain America, Wolverine, Iron Man. So they hired the studio that made the XCOM games, which is like a turn-based sort of strategy game.
Okay.
And there's no gameplay released yet. It comes out next month. The gameplay trailer comes out next month, and then the game is released in March 2022. But... I feel like it's a pretty good idea for them to, like, hire a studio that kind of knows what they're doing to make a game.
Yeah,
because that last Marvel's Avengers game was not super fun.
Yeah, so what sort of game is it? Is it a fighting game? Is it going to be...
He just said it's like an RPG game, which doesn't tell us much, but I assume we'll know more just when that gameplay trailer comes out. But,
yeah, I heard the Avengers game was trash. I haven't played it.
I did play it, and it's like... It's fun for, like, a little bit, but also my game got corrupted when I was playing it with my friend.
Huh.
And I didn't want to go back and do, like, the hour and a half that we lost or whatever. So I was like, well, that's it for me.
Got but the experience.
Money wasted.
I'm out.
Yeah. So it was a strange game. But, like, I don't know if I would be too excited about this. Oh, actually, there's a Ghost Rider in there as well. The Robbie Reyes one.
Oh, yeah.
He looks fucking awesome.
He is a cool.
He, like, easily looks like the coolest one in that game. So I'm glad they did right by him. But as far as, like, Marvel games, it has, like, every single character and, like, oh, my God, look at all the cool outfits you can get for each one. I don't know if I'm super excited about that. I want them to, like, focus on, like, littler stories.
I just want Lego Marvel 2.
Well, that's, like, all the characters, too, so I'm kind of burnt out by that.
Like, no, it's sick.
I want more of, like...
I want more deep cuts.
I'm kind of more excited for, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy game that they announced because it seems like it's just going to be them. And, like, I won't have to try and, like... collect every character or whatever and
then
get
go
all of
back
their outfits
and get then, the achievements
yeah
and shit
and
like
then,
that.
Yeah, so I think having like a character driven game will do them well, so
for sure.
Nice. I'll have to look out for that.
Anyway,
I think it comes out in like October. The trailer came out during E3, so I was pretty excited for that.
Nathan, a show called Naomi, based off of a book that we've read on the pod,
yes,
started filming like this week.
I think we've seen.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah,
anyway.
All right, pretty exciting.
The Matrix 4 got a title and apparently an exclusive trailer for the people who went to like CinemaCon. It's called The Matrix Resurrections. Very
multiple.
Exciting.
Oh, man.
Yes,
so
multiple resurrections.
I feel like I was living under a rock because I just found out about The Matrix 4 like a month ago. And I thought it was somebody
we knew about
trolling,
that shit like last year, I feel
so
like.
So I had to like look into it.
The
I'm
only
like,
thing...
I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, well... I don't think you've been living under a rock, because the only thing we knew about it is that it's happening and Keanu Reeves is back, and then it like went quiet for like a year. So
yeah, this is like this week news.
Yeah.
That's all the news there's been since it was announced.
I wonder when there'll be a trailer.
It comes out this December on HBO Max.
Holy
so
shit.
It's got to be like, we're coming up on the end.
Yeah.
2022 is in 4 months.
That's crazy.
What the fuck?
Okay. I feel like we just got here.
I know. Anyway.
Speaking of trailers, Spider-Man, who are these people in my home? What universe are you from?
Yeah, how do I get back to my normal one?
I just want to go home.
That place is way better.
Spider-Man, just let me go home.
I'll deal with the shit that I left back there. It's fine.
Yeah. So finally the trailer came out. Everybody's like, oh my God. Apparently there was like a leaked trailer that was like 2 megapixels.
Yeah, it looked like ass.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, I waited. I was like,
oh no, I was trying to find it, and then when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is the best one I could find, I guess.
Looks pretty fun.
I couldn't even see like faces or anything. Yeah. It was like outlines of people, basically.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah,
for me, like, I was expecting, I'm assuming Doctor Strange is working with Spider-Man. But other than that first scene where he's doing the spell, it seems like Doctor Strange is against him. Like, on the train, I don't see how whatever he's doing with the cars is helping Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like, it seems... And he, like, soul punches him. I don't know if that's the official name for the spell, but...
That sounds about right. I think that's what they call it.
Well, they do that to put people in place, you know? Like, they did to the Hulk, and they did to Stephen Strange in his movie.
But what could Spider-Man be doing to need to be put back in place?
Could you just fucking fix it or whatever? Like, just do another spell? Come
maybe
on.
Maybe Spider-Man's trying to help, and he's just getting in the way, and he's like, ooh, sorry. Sorry, Mr. Strange.
And then he had some sort of box thing. He's probably not supposed to have that.
Yeah, well, I was looking into that, and what I read was that that box could be, like, where Doctor Strange is keeping the villains, so he's trying to, I guess, clear out the field
like a Pokeball
for the upcoming battle in the Multiverse of Madness. But
why does he have the villains?
Well, that's the thing. I'm wondering, is Spider-Man, is it not what we think it is? Could Spider-Man possibly be find out that Doctor Strange is doing this and actively trying to get people back to their home?
Oh.
And Doctor Strange is away, like, no, don't do that, soul punch.
Interesting.
I like where you're going with it. Honestly, looking too deep into these things really gets you nowhere.
Yeah, it's probably... Yeah. I mean, we probably only saw, like, the first 20 minutes.
I've seen a lot of Mephisto, like, a lot of Mephisto, like, fucking rumors.
Series.
Yeah, it's always
Mephisto
comes...
I wish Mephisto would just show
everything.
Up, like.
I want them...
I wish they would say, like, hey, there's no devil here. And then they're just like, yeah, I'll never come.
I want Mephisto to just be in one scene where he's not contributing anything and he just dies.
I bet... I want him to be in, like, an after-credit thing, but it's, like... but it's like pointless, kind of like the Watchers,
like
where
the
it's
Howard
like Stanley is just talking to him. Yeah. It's like, oh, there he is. You happy now?
Yeah.
Because, like, I've never read too much with, like, Mephisto in it. And I can't imagine he's that interesting. You're like, yeah, he's the devil. Cool.
So I picture, like, Mephisto sitting at a computer watching YouTube with one of the YouTubers, like, talking about how Mephisto's coming. And he's just like, these guys are a bunch of fucking assholes.
Like, I can't even leave here. Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess, like, people are theorizing that he's in there because it is heavily based off of a Spider-Man story where he sells his soul or whatever to the devil to make people forget that he's Spider-Man. So
One more day,
yeah.
We'll have to read that one.
But the caveat of that is that he's not married to MJ anymore. So basically, I think it was Dan Slott that wrote it, but it was, like, after Civil War when he, like, took off his mask and was like, I'm Peter Parker. I assume Marvel editorial was just like, you know what, we don't like that he doesn't have a secret identity and we don't like him being married anymore, so how do we fix that? And then they just like make a deal with the devil. I don't know. So that's probably why people are theorizing, but I don't think that he'd be in it, to be
honest. I also saw a theory that Nightmare could be controlling Doctor Strange, because in the trailer he's normally like a very serious person.
And he's just in sweats in this.
Yeah, he's like in sweats, super casual, just doesn't seem like himself. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Nightmare.
I don't either.
So
who the fuck is Nightmare?
I guess it's
just a villain.
Similar to like a Mephisto, like another devil character.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could talk theories forever, but it came out, looks good, Doc Ock at the end, which we kind of knew was happening. So
I saw this really funny picture. You know that picture of Ben Affleck where he's like smoking and he like looks like he hates his life?
Yeah.
I saw a meme and it was like, it's that picture, but the Doctor Strange robes around Ben Affleck, and it's like Doctor Strange after he fucks everything up trying to fix something. It's just and it's just him being like, oh. But yeah, I wonder why Doctor Strange's house looks all cold. It looks like it's very snowy in there.
Because hell is frozen over, Nathan.
And also we saw Alfred Molina and he looks all right, I guess.
Yeah, he looks like Alfred Molina.
He looks de-aged.
Sure. You know, I wasn't looking that closely, but probably.
Yeah.
Because it's been like 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, so I wonder when we'll see all the Spider-Men if they, I mean, I assume they come in. They'd have to.
Yeah, they were probably. It's kind of a given. Trailer.
I wasn't, because like this trailer would determine like even if they're even fucking with the multiverse and all the past movies.
Yeah,
and they've established that now. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a matter of time. They're not going to throw it all in there, because this could be like big news for whoever watches it and doesn't look at the news ever.
True.
Or just nerdy news
or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going to tell us that.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see the big reveal.
Mm-hmm. So,
moving on.
Any other news?
Yeah, plenty. Nathan,
let's hear it.
We got the Death of Doctor Strange comic coming. It's going to have written by Jed MacKay and art by Lee Garbett.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, dude, he's great.
I thought he was doing independent stuff, but
he's a busy guy.
I guess he is a busy guy.
We got a post from Jeff Lemire. He's teasing something for August 31st. I don't know when this man sleeps, but he's announcing another book, apparently.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
Apparently the primordial one that hasn't come out, it was like his highest
pre-ordered
book.
That's awesome.
And it was like the second highest pre-ordered book for like the month that it comes out. So that's pretty wild.
Who doesn't want to read about monkeys going to space?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
And then Marvel is developing a Halloween special for Disney Plus.
A Halloween special?
Yeah, some sort of Halloween special.
Mephisto.
Yeah. It must be Mephisto.
They did leave a hint that it will include a Hispanic actor or character. So, could still be Mephisto.
Robbie Reese, the like new Ghost Rider.
Reyes. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like canon?
Yes. Technically?
Like, if they had Ghost Rider in the MCU, would it be him?
No, probably not.
Exactly. So, we'll see. It could be animated.
Yeah, it could be.
We know nothing.
Alternate universe.
Yeah, true. There's
they
a multiverse
can really do
now.
Anything now.
Yeah, they really can.
They just do, yeah,
just pick and
animated
choose the good
shit.
Stuff. That's how. That's why reboots happen. And cosmic events like that. So, any other news, Daniel?
No, sir.
All right. Well, then let's get into the book that we read this week, which is Cosmic Ghost Rider. By one Donnie Cates, who I'm a big fan of, with artist Dylan Burnett, color artist Antonio Fabella, and letterer Clayton Callas. He just letters every comic, basically, at this
right.
point.
Right, yeah. You know, the
every
he's
single
a computer, essentially.
Every single comic, like, I could bet money that it would be Clayton Callas, and it would be a pretty solid bet.
The name of this story arc is Baby Thanos Must Die.
You know, I just realized that, and that's a pretty good title.
It's a fantastic. Awesome. I mean, like, I have to pick this shit up now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a hook for sure. You don't even need to read the back and see what this is about.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, pretty fun book. I really enjoyed it. I've known about this character for a while because he first appeared in Donny Cates' Thanos Wins, like, story arc, and then he kind of, Cosmic Ghost Rider just kind of pops around from there, but...
Right.
Didn't you read Thanos Wins?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Now you're left alone, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't care.
Oh, you're missing
I read the
out,
first
man.
Issue because it's at the back of this one.
Mm-mm, that's Thanos Legacy. So that's a different book.
Ah,
yeah.
Well,
Thanos Wins is much better.
Whatever.
But yeah, so this is a pretty crazy character. One thing I noticed right off the bat, which I think is kind of funny, like the trade design, like the first couple pages where it says Cosmic Ghost Rider and says who all the like creators are. There's a bunch of like chains that are kind of sprayed about like the page, and I think it's kind of funny because Donny Cates just made that imprint with the Substack called Kids Love Chains imprint.
Oh
yeah.
So deep that's cut.
So I think it's pretty funny because he's like
he's bringing Cosmic Ghost Rider with him.
He's got like a bunch of like affinity for Todd McFarlane, like Spawn, and he's got like a bunch of chains and stuff.
Tons
so,
of that shit.
And then on podcasts, he always makes a joke like, kids love chains, like add more chains or whatever. And it does make this character look really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The only thing, I love this book. It's tons of fun. But I didn't feel like it was a very good representation of like Frank Castle, personally, besides like the first issue. Because the first issue is all serious. And then the rest of the time, I'm like reading it and I just hear like Deadpool in my head, you know, with like the jokes and the quips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if getting all these abilities makes you like that or whatever, but it just seems like
he goes crazy while he has like the spirit of vengeance in him. So just a brief intro to Cosmic Ghost Rider. He's essentially normal Frank Castle, who's like a soldier, and then he loses his family or whatever. But in this, Frank Castle is killed by Thanos. He goes to hell. He sells his soul to Mephisto, I think, to become the spirit of vengeance.
There's Mephisto again.
Yep, Mephisto. He's always here. He's always present. So he becomes the Spirit of Vengeance. So he's just normal Ghost Rider for a while. But since he becomes normal Ghost Rider after Thanos kills everything, he's on Earth alone, where he kind of goes mad as like the Spirit of Vengeance. And then Galactus comes trying to eat that Earth. And then Frank Castle as Ghost Rider talks to Galactus, convinces him to become the Herald of Galactus. And then they both go to fight Thanos. And then Thanos beats Galactus. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider becomes the right-hand man of Thanos. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty easy to understand.
Easy. Yeah. That was like how it was sold to me when it first came out. I'm like, no fucking way.
I know. It's like really crazy. And I think it's funny because like there's just so many levels there. It's not like a simple origin. I think that's like...
It's a hat on a hat, Nathan.
So yeah, it's essentially a hat on that. So it's pretty funny. And then later he dies by Silver Surfer Black, who's wielding Mjolnir. So that's kind of where we're led up to the beginning of this book. And most of that takes place in Thanos Wins.
Oh, okay.
So the Donny Cates run.
Spoilers.
Yep. So essentially, the whole book starts on Valhalla, and it's just... Yeah, so Frank Castle's in Valhalla. He's fucking around there. He gets into like a bar fight with a god, which is pretty cool. And then Odin comes up, and he offers the chance to go to any time and place in history that he wants, because he respects Frank Castle for living for as long as he did and doing what he did in his life. So Frank Castle is like about to deny this opportunity when the crazy Spirit of Vengeance kind of takes over, and he turns into like that Deadpool kind of persona. And then he asks to be brought to Titan, but far enough back to when Thanos is a baby so that he could kill him. So like right off the bat, I think the artist is like really good. Like I think he draws like a really fun and like bright Valhalla. And I really like this old Frank Castle design.
Yeah.
Like he's just like an old John Wick basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's awesome that he's just like fighting a god and everything.
Dude, his fucking motorcycle is nuts.
Yeah.
So are you kidding me? I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's like, they're like, take a motorcycle but put it in space and like, what would that look like?
Yeah, and the front wheel is just like, I don't know, a supernova or something.
And the whole just cosmic Ghost Rider design is just genius, because it's like flaming skull, that's cool. Spiky shoulder pads, those are cool. Chains, but they're red, so even cooler than normal chains.
And then the fire is like within this like space helmet.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Like every part. And then there's still like the Punisher logo like incorporated in there. So it's just like all the coolness of Ghost Rider and the Punisher, mix them together and then put them in space. It's like, it's,
I think,
awesome.
Like all comics should really be this. Like, why does it need to be more serious?
Yeah, I know.
Who needs depth
this
in
is
a character?
The most fun I've had like reading a comic book in a while.
Absolutely.
Because it's just an insane,
it kind of gave me like Beta Ray Bill vibes, just to how fucking nuts it is.
Yeah, that's a great book. So Cosmic Ghost Rider wonders why no other time travel person has done this before, you know, because there's a couple time travel people in the MC, in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
But just as he's about to point and shoot baby Thanos at point blank, infant Thanos just jumps from his crib and starts attacking him. And so Cosmic Ghost Rider gives baby Thanos like the penance stare and realizes that this is an innocent Thanos, and he's not a mad Titan yet, like he will eventually grow up to be. So he basically just says fuck it, and he takes Thanos and is gonna try and redeem him.
Whoa, you're not just gonna roll past this. After he gives him the penance stare and realizes that he's like a baby, he punches him. He just punches baby Thanos.
He kind of does
like
clock him in the chin.
He's fucking clock him. I was like, he just punched a baby.
Yeah,
he did. Let's just not walk past that. Like, I get who it is, but in this time, he just punched a baby for no reason.
I wonder what that's like, pitching that to like the editor. Like,
can I punch a baby? It's Thanos.
Can we punch a baby if he eventually kills everybody? Like,
if it's a Thanos baby, I think.
Yeah.
I think
if it's a mass murderer, can we punch it?
Yeah. I don't think there's any other baby that you could punch, though.
So, yeah, this is kind of like the dilemma that people ask, like, if you go back in time, would you kill baby Hitler kind of thing?
Yeah.
But just...
That's essentially the same idea, but then he realizes through his penance there, like, he's not insane yet, so maybe he can change him.
I completely forgot about the penance stare, like, just that being a part of Ghost Rider, because I haven't really seen anything since, like, the movies, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the penance stare, and I like the way that the artist draws it, because their eyes are, like, wide open, and there's just, like, a fiery, like, center to them.
Yeah.
I also think that the writer's really good at making an expressive, like, Cosmic Ghost Rider, because he is, like, a skull, but he, like, puts expression on it, and he's, like, his eyebrow bones move or whatever, and he, like, has different expressions there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I really like the baby vest that he makes out of the red chains. So it's like that vest that people carry their babies with, but it's just
like a DIY vest.
Yeah. He's like, he had to you know, there's not a like a side cart for baby Thanos on his
slow car seat
on his motorcycle. Chains. But yeah, super fluid first issue, honestly. Like, I finished reading it and I was like, was that a full comic book already?
Yeah, dude, I read this in like one sitting.
Yeah.
It took like a half an hour.
It was like, yeah, it's super fun. It's nothing crazy complicated or anything.
It's everything it needs to be.
So issue two, Cosmic Ghost Rider is trying to figure out sort of the second half of this plan now that he has baby Thanos. So he takes him to a bar, which is what any good parent would do, I think.
Hey, that's okay nowadays.
Yeah. And so he's on a random planet that a friend told him about, he says. And the bar staff tries to kick him out for having a child. And Cosmic Ghost Rider has to basically stop baby Thanos from trying to kill them. And he's also trying to set an example by not killing them himself. So he's trying to not expose baby Thanos to violence. But I kind of just love, like, the overall curiosity of Thanos, and he's just, like, asking him a bunch of questions.
About, oh, like, yeah, where he's death, like, and murdering and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
murder.
Yeah. Like, there's literally a panel where he, like, is drinking, like, a sip of a beer, and he's like, tell me more about murder. And I think that's pretty funny.
Thanos is loyal, though. Once they were trying to, you know, get with Ghost Rider, he was up out of that seat, broken bottle. Go.
He's still attached to the chain. I like how that's how he, like, stops Thanos. He just pulls on the chain.
Yeah.
It's like one of those kids on, like, a backpack that has, like, a leash.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. And, like, I really like all these outlaws that are, like, in space. Like, you don't see them, like, that well, but there's a couple panels, and you just see that every single one is designed so, like, independently of one another. Like, they don't all just look, like, generalized. Like, there's one that looks like a mech, and he's, like, looks super cool. Or there's one that has, like, one of those Western, like, ponchos on.
Uh-huh.
And it's really cool looking.
That guy looked, like, kind of like Star-Lord to me. Like, that mask he has on.
Yeah, it's like if Star-Lord was in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Yeah, so I love artists that do that. They, like, put in the time, even though it's probably unnecessary for them, and their job is hard enough. But he just did a full-ass design for each person in this bar, which is pretty cool. So anyway, Galactus shows up, and...
Naturally.
Yep, and since it's in the past, he doesn't know Cosmic Ghost Rider yet. He doesn't know him as, like, his herald or anything. But Cosmic Ghost Rider knows about this planet because of Galactus. And so Cosmic Ghost Rider has Galactus do, like, a mind-reading thing on him to discover that Cosmic Ghost Rider is his best bud.
His herald.
Galactus wants to kill baby Thanos because Thanos is the one that eventually kills Galactus. So that puts Cosmic Ghost Rider in, like, this weird situation where he has to be like, no, I'm trying to change him. Like, I know he's going to kill you, but, like, just trust me on this one.
Like, I'm going to raise this baby Thanos. So be a good baby Thanos.
He tries to save him, but this also attracts the attention of Uatu, the Watcher, which I didn't expect to see in this story at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you pronounced his name, because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's what it is.
Wait, are we skipping the space sharks?
Yeah, dude, you're not going to bring up the space sharks?
I was going to mention that. Like,
that shit's awesome.
There's nothing I love more in Cosmic Marvel than seeing, like, aquatic-based things in space. Like,
oh, yeah.
Space sharks is a big one, but in, like, Jason Aaron's Thor run, there's, like, pirate ships that are just in space.
Hell yeah.
And that's how people, like, get around, because they're, like, Vikings, basically, like, all the Asgardians.
Yeah,
and
dude,
stuff.
Space Vikings.
Yeah, but, like, seeing, like, you know, space fish or anything like that, it's like my favorite shit. And these sharks have, like, armor on, which is dope.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah, that is the pretty fun part. But we have the Watcher here, and he's just gonna watch him make a terrible mistake. That's why he's there. He just wants to be up front and see it. And then after Cosmic Ghost Rider tries to leave with Thanos, he's stopped by the new Cosmic Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, sir.
So a couple things there. I think this is a good Watcher design.
Nathan.
Yeah.
This is a great opportunity to bring back our famous segment.
Okay, great.
Who the fuck is that? So we got the new Guardians of the Galaxy, Nathan. Yep. Who's in this lineup?
So it's Cable, just normal Cable.
Yeah.
No, no gimmicks there. To the right of him is Jubilee, who's an X-Men.
Yeah, I was like, why the fuck is she there?
Why not?
I don't know why she's in anything, honestly.
To the left, I believe, is Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, but she's Captain America now.
Yeah, she's got a shield. She's still Captain Marvel, though.
Then we have Rocket Raccoon, but he's wearing Groot armor, basically.
Yeah, it's a mech suit made out of Groot.
Yeah.
Which is bananas.
It's awesome. That's such a fun idea. And then there's Juggerduck, who's Howard the Duck. He's Howard the Duck, but he's a juggernaut. He's like
or
X-Men.
Duck or not.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I think it can be either
they,
one.
They say it in here.
They say it like...
They give him like an official name.
Yeah. What is it?
But I just wanted to bring that up.
Juggerduck, yeah.
Juggerduck.
So that's actually a pretty funny story, because when this book was coming out, I was already following Donny Cates, And apparently him and Jason Aaron, the guy that was writing Thor at the time, had a bet that Donny Cates wouldn't be able to get Marvel to publish some form of Jugger-Duck. But since this is like a... this team ends up kind of being like a throwaway team, like they die a couple pages later, he was able to like convince them to put Jugger-Duck in.
It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I don't know why he's not in the normal
It's like a random Marvel character generator and just like clicking it twice. Yeah,
Juggernaut mixed with Howard the Duck.
How are we going to do that?
Yeah, and another thing, when Galactus like sees through like Cosmic Ghost Rider's mind, like one of my favorite things in comics is when a character's backstory is told by like a big double page spread, and I think this one's pretty cool. And it has like all the big things where he's like meeting Galactus for the first time and whatever, but there's a little sliver of that where it looks like he's taking down the planet that Groot is originally from, because we see a bunch of Groots that are just like trying to run away and Galactus is like in the background.
Oh, brutal.
So a little tidbit in there. I think Cosmic Ghost Rider was responsible for the downfall of Groot's race, so that's pretty fun.
Oh man.
Yeah. But I love pages like that.
That's like killing a dog.
And this one's dope too. I just like the format of it and everything. But anyway, let's get into issue 3. So the Guardians start to chase down after Cosmic Ghost Rider, and Frank tells baby Thanos that he could kill them with like very little effort, but he's trying to not expose Thanos to violence. And after Frank crashes his motorcycle, Cable says that they're from the future where Frank created when he raised Thanos, which means that he's gonna turn into a mad titan anyway, essentially. So he ends up failing in his mission in this future. But Galactus ends up demolishing the Guardians, except for Cable, who then goes back in time to come back with a different Guardians of the Galaxy team. And we got some interesting characters.
And who else do we got, Nathan?
So let's take a look.
It's going to come up a couple times.
Well, actually, first, Cable figures out how to deal with the Galactus situation. So he goes back in time, and he gets rid of Galactus by shrinking him with Pym particles, and then he shoots him out of his gun.
Genius.
Which is a great plan. Great idea. At first, I thought Cable made himself really big, and I was like...
Yeah, same thing.
Which is a better idea, honestly.
Because then he could take down...
This is less messy, I'll admit.
Yeah, true. It makes sense if he shrinks him and then shoots him, because I think Galactus can just kind of change his size whenever he wants. So
can he?
Okay. If Cable just... Yeah, because how does he eat planets? Like,
I thought it was just like kind of a Thanksgiving dinner. He just takes piece to piece, you know?
I don't know if I've actually ever seen Galactus eat a planet.
Does Goes back for seconds.
He prefers to do it in private.
Does he pop it? Does he like pop it like in like a grape or something? Like
maybe he gets
planet?
Big enough to where it's just like a bite.
Because I've seen like just generalizations where he's kind of like sucking the life force like with his hands or whatever, but that's kind of lame, isn't it?
No, I want him to devour, like actually...
I want it to
inhale,
be like he's eating
and ingest.
I want it to be like he's eating an apple or something.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just a couple bites. So anyway, yeah. I really like that Cable shoots Galactus through his gun, like he team rockets like fucking Galactus and just shoots him off into the distance. So all right, yeah. So Cable comes back with different Guardians characters. So the first team that he tries, he gets Cloak and Dagger, the Thing, Gambit but with a mustache.
Very nice.
And then there's like a Spider-Man mech
thing. Yeah, it's like a big one. It's kind of like a Hulkbuster, but if it was Spider-Man.
I've discovered that this is like a different future, so they kind of do different takes on these characters. So
sure.
Not all of them are gonna
We're gonna do
up,
our best though.
Yeah. So yeah, he goes back in time, he brings another team of Guardians to fight, and then Frank has basically had enough, so he tosses baby Thanos to Uatu, who's supposed to watch him while Frank fights, basically.
Worst babysitter ever.
Yeah. He just recruits the Watcher as a babysitter, which is pretty funny. I also like
it's
that
in
panel.
His name. He should be pretty good at watching stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Watch the baby for a minute.
He's not the babysitter, though.
He's the baby watcher.
Yeah. I like that panel where he actually like throws baby Thanos, because yeah. There's like lettering and it says toss. He like tosses him over. It's good fun.
Brilliant lettering.
Yeah. So then Frank basically fights everybody and demolishes all, but it turns into Cable constantly like going back in time and forming other teams to jump back to that point. So we get X-23 dying there. It looks like we get some Nightcrawler. Doctor Strange is in there.
So this is like the best issue for sure. It's so fucking ridiculous, and it's just a big bloodbath.
Yeah.
So we could just kind of like name off everyone that he just murders like effortlessly.
Cyclops, but with a mustache. Moon Knight, but like the one that I like where he's Mr. Knight.
Yeah, he killed Doctor Strange, Nightcrawler, Rogue, Mr. Fantastic.
Is that War Machine back there?
War Machine.
Sabretooth.
Beta Ray Bill.
Cyclops. Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
That would have been a good
Daredevil.
Fight.
Spidey.
Where's Daredevil? Is it in that one with Beta Ray Bill?
Yeah, just under Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Hulk. I think Spider-Man's in there.
I saw.
And I don't know who that is in the fire. There's like a face in the fire, but you can't really tell.
Right here?
Yeah, right down there.
Maybe it's like Iceman, but he's like on under fire, his armpit. So maybe that's not too good for him.
Oh.
Yeah, but you can't really tell. And then there's a huge double page spread where it's just like...
Or it could be like the Human Torch.
There's a Sentinel down there, too.
Yeah, he's killing Sentinels.
Oh, shit. So we also... On the next page, there's a big double page spread where we have like the Vision. There's Medusa and Black Bolt.
Blade. Cap is in there.
We got a mech suit. Like Iron Man, like a Hulkbuster.
Psylocke,
I think. You guys see Deadpool peeking in?
Yeah.
Throwing up the deuces?
On the left corner, yeah. He's just like, what's up? I'm here too. Who's that X-Men with the two swords? He's never made an on-screen appearance, I don't think. But I'm going to look it up.
Oh, no. Wait, didn't he?
He might have been.
Oh, fuck, dude. You're going to say it and be so pissed.
Who is this guy? I think he's been on X-Force.
Yeah, we read a book with him in it, didn't we?
No, that was Deadpool.
Is that an X-Men, though?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What'd you Google?
I just did X-Men with two swords, but that didn't help at all for some reason.
Is that Blade right there in the middle?
Yep.
Yep, Blade is there. I can't even remember. X-Force.
Which sword-wielding X-Men are you?
Is that like a BuzzFeed quiz?
Yeah.
That's awesome. There's a bunch of like X of Swords articles, but I don't care about that. I just want to know who this X-Men is.
I know.
Whatever. We'll... I'll keep going while you look it up, Daniel.
Okay.
But yeah, Captain America's in there. There's a really... Like, one of my favorite panels in comics is this one where Iron Fist, like, gives him a good old punch, which knocks him out. And then there's, like...
Shatterstar.
That's what it is.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in Deadpool 2 for, like, a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But he ran into, like, a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunate. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of my favorite panels just in comics in general is this one where Iron Fist like knocks out Cosmic Ghost Rider.
That's then, fucking dope.
But then the lettering says boom, but like the O's in the boom are like the shockwaves from like the... Like, it's such a good panel.
It's excellent.
And it looks like it's a female version of Iron Fist. I'm not sure, but it might just be like that version or that universe's version of Iron Fist.
Right.
So anyway, Cosmic Ghost Rider gets knocked out and Thanos turns out he was witnessing all of this crazy destruction that Cosmic Ghost Rider just did. So after he's knocked out, he wakes up like 15 minutes after, and then he discovers that baby Thanos has just killed everyone that was left, and he's whacking Cable with his own severed arm. And so basically Cable, in his like last dying words, tells Cosmic Ghost Rider that the Thanos that he raises is so much worse. And at that exact moment, there's a grown-up Thanos that walks through a portal, and he's wearing a bunch of Punisher gear and Punisher costume. And he's like, what's up, Dad?
Sorry I'm late.
So that's pretty crazy. Like, what a great cliffhanger.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanos, but he's the Punisher? Come on. Like, what a gold idea. They actually made that into a pop as well.
Oh, like a Funko Pop. I think I saw that. Yeah. Now I understand it, so that's I can the buy origin. It.
Yeah.
So, and this was the first... like comic book I read like as it was coming out, so everything else I've read is it's out there, I can just read the whole thing.
Yeah,
sure. So that sucked when it like,
and you're like,
ends up, I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude.
I gotta wait like a month.
It's so good. Like, this book does cliffhangers super fucking well, honestly, because how do you read that page and be like, nah, I don't think I'll pick up the next one. Like, you have to know, man, what's coming after this. It's
like
so good.
I don't think there's a person in the world who picked up 3 but didn't pick up 4.
Yeah,
because 3 was bonkers.
Yeah. So yeah, sweet cliffhanger there, which leads us into issue 4. So basically, this Punisher Thanos takes him through a portal to his time, which to Frank's surprise is like this beautiful, peaceful land that Thanos has created, and it's like a safe place with no crime. But Thanos's Frank Castle dies, so that Cosmic Ghost Rider that ended up raising him. And they have like a little moment there, but then, just kidding, there's like a separate part of the world that's isolated from this peaceful part of the world where Thanos just rules over everything and punishes all crime and stuff by like killing him. So at first you're like, you know, maybe Thanos did pretty good. But then it turns out that's a very small piece of land, it seems like, compared to everywhere else. But there's some, like, absolutely stellar coloring in that double page spread of, like, the sunset and, like, the sort of, like, urban landscape and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So pretty cool there. But our Frank that we know says that this is, like, all wrong, and letting those people die, like, conflicts what he said earlier about letting baby, like, trying to convince baby Thanos that letting people die is wrong or whatever. So Cosmic Ghost Rider is just in this situation where he's conflicting what he said before, but trying to do right, but it's kind of hard. So Frank turns into his Ghost Rider form and says that everybody down there on that city deserves another chance to live. But then there's a reveal that Thanos is protecting this timeline's version of Frank Castle that is alive, and he's just in the peaceful living area with his wife, who was canonically killed normally. So that's kind of crazy. But, like, there's...
So who's in the bar? Who's in the farm or whatever?
So in the house,
yeah,
is this timeline's Frank Castle, who never had his, like, wife killed.
Yeah.
So
why is there a grave?
That's what I'm wondering. Because I think it's supposed to be the Frank Castle, or the Cosmic Ghost Rider, ends up raising Thanos, and then eventually that Cosmic Ghost Rider dies. And so... But he's also living in conjunction with the Frank Castle from this timeline.
Okay.
So, gotcha. if the Cosmic Ghost Rider in this Punisher Thanos' timeline was alive, there would have been two of them, but he's dead now.
Right. Okay.
So that confused me for a little bit too. But then I'm like,
I just moved on. I was gonna ask you.
You're like, whatever. So eventually, after he sees, like, this Frank Castle, he's like, why am I still here? Like, why am I, like, still Cosmic Ghost Rider? And Thanos is like, you've apparently still eventually turned into him. So Frank blames Thanos for turning him into Cosmic Ghost Rider, no matter the timeline. And as he's about to take baby Thanos and shoot him, Thanos shoots laser beams from his eyes and takes baby Thanos as his herald. So they get into a big fight. And now Thanos, like, I guess Thanos' plan is to raise a younger version of himself, which is kind of strange.
It's like, how much more powerful could that Thanos get? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Or it would just be like just another one.
Yeah, two Thanoses.
Maybe
Thanos,
he's just trying to protect him.
They're gonna share the gauntlet now or something?
Like, well, like, so that no other time traveler tries to kill baby Thanos.
It's fair. Yeah.
So has Thanos always had the laser beams, or is that like a new feature?
He's always had them.
Okay.
I don't really know what Thanos can do without, like, the gauntlet. You know, I just thought he was like a big dude.
So it's very, like, you don't...
Because you can get, like, apparently in MCU canon, he can just get decapitated, mm-hmm. you know, with just, like, a big enough axe.
Yeah.
But...
He's not that special in the MCU, I feel like.
Yeah, no. So it's just, like, that's never been explained to me.
There's a really cool, like, older comic that was before Infinity Gauntlet called Thanos Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically Thanos getting all of the stones from where they are in the different places in the universe.
Right.
And you see a few of his powers there, but, like, his eye beams aren't, like, a big part of his character. It just, like, happens every once in a while when...
I feel like that would be very useful.
It's just another, like, dark side ripoff.
That'd be, like, my go-to.
Yeah. Like, you'd think it would be, like, Superman's, too.
Don't,
like,
have to lift an arm. Just,
yeah. But I think he could shoot, like, cosmic beams from, like, his hands or something every once in a while, too. Or maybe he needs, like, an Infinity Stone for that, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think I just need to play him in, like... Marvel vs. Capcom, see what his, what all his attacks are.
Yeah.
Like, right, this is what he can do. Same with, like, Captain Marvel, because I'm not sure with that either.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to learn his combos so that if you were ever to fight Thanos, you know what his combos are.
Yeah, so I know the stakes, you know, when I'm reading him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's see. Did I talk about everything?
Basically.
Did you get to the part where he made him his herald?
Yeah.
Yeah, you said that.
Okay, cool.
Thanos
so,
is ripped.
So can people just have their own heralds if they want?
I guess.
That seems like a pretty big title that only Galactus can give out, but I guess Thanos would be like, I want one too.
It's like an unofficial herald. You know?
It's more like an assistant.
Because like when...
or an apprentice.
When you become a herald of Galactus, you get like some cosmic powers.
Yeah, I don't know if Thanos is going to give baby Thanos anything.
Maybe he'll pass off some of his ginormous biceps.
Yeah. Thanos definitely lifts.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's insane.
He'll pass on the habit.
Why does Thanos have like those white Punisher gloves on too? Like, it's so ridiculous.
Because that's what happens. And what if he just had like the whole, like, you know, like 90s like Punisher suit where it's just like like long sleeves, like in the pants, just one jumpsuit with the white gloves.
Also, I wish he didn't laser him. I wish he just took the shotgun or whatever is on his back and shot him, because we never see him use a gun in this story.
Yeah, the point of having it strapped to him is
for ease of access.
Yeah.
What do those bullets go to that are on his shoulder?
Rocket launcher or something?
A big shotgun, perhaps? Yeah, he's got little bullets and big bullets and tons of pouches and stuff. It's so good.
To be honest, I don't think I've seen like Cable use like every single one of his patches or anything like that.
Absolutely he does.
I don't know. He's like, oh, my key's going here. I got Tylenol right here.
There should, yeah.
I got wet wipes just in case.
You got my inhaler. Yeah. There should be like a one shot where...
You got an EpiPen? Yeah,
like,
definitely.
A one shot that's just exploring like... Or him like getting ready for battle and he's just putting all the things in his pouches.
Damn. We'll edit that out and make it our own.
Yeah, honestly. But I really like how this issue like turns into asking like ethical questions of like what's right and what's wrong, or like are we able to change our destiny? Like there's all these like insane ideas of like Punisher being Thanos, or like Frank Castle turning into Ghost Rider, turning into Cosmic Ghost Rider. But then there's like those like smaller moments of do people deserve to be punished as well? Like it gets pretty crazy. So that's why I really like this book. It kind of can balance the crazy with like some of the smaller points,
right?
And not kind of those aren't the kind of questions I was expecting from Ghost Rider either.
Mm-hmm.
So the last issue 5. So now Cosmic Ghost Rider has to make a decision. Thanos is holding out his hand, asking if Frank wants to be his partner once again, but Frank isn't going to make the same mistake twice, and he ends up blasting Thanos to the non-peaceful town that's like down below that he like ends up that Thanos was like ruling. And so there's a big fight where Cosmic Ghost Rider shows his true power. He's like not holding back at all, and he kind of goes like Super Saiyan a little bit, like the flames change colors and everything as he's like gaining more power. And he, like, blasts all of his clothes away, which I think is a fun little detail that they put in there.
No, he's thick, dude.
Yeah, he is thick. He's got some crazy... Like, his obliques have full six-packs.
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
His riblets are crazy.
So, then there's a final penance stare, but not like the normal one, because normally Cosmic Ghost Rider feeds Thanos penance stares to, like, motivate him. This one's just Cosmic
penance.
Ghost Rider going full, like, blast right on Thanos' face, turning it into a skull, and then he crushes the skull in his hand, like Mortal Kombat style. So,
yeah.
Pretty good fight, honestly.
Pretty good.
Thanos doesn't fight back that much, but I guess it's a testament to how powerful Cosmic Ghost Rider is. But I also really like the pacing up to, like, that first strike from Cosmic Ghost Rider, because he's talking about, like, how he's not a good guy and he's made some mistakes, but at least he's not somebody that makes the same mistake twice. And then that leads up into him like starting the fight, which I think is pretty cool. So yeah, pretty good stuff.
Isn't it revealed that like future Thanos is the one that killed like his dad, basically?
I don't think
like,
so.
Like the previous Cosmic Ghost Rider of the future.
The previous Cosmic Ghost Rider of the future.
Sorry, that was a dumb statement. But the future Cosmic Ghost Rider, I think that's who's in the grave, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's revealed that Thanos actually killed him.
Oh, maybe. I must have missed that.
I wrote that down, so I guess that's something I picked up, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it's in this run. I don't remember that.
Ah, all right, never mind.
It's a big twist if that happened, though. So Ben, after that fight's over, Frank then takes baby Thanos through time again and brings Thanos back to his crib, which essentially kills that whole previous timeline where Frank is, like, happy. So that's, like, a big moment for Frank Castle. And he puts Thanos back, and he hopes that some of their journey got through to him in some way, because he decides that he's probably not the best person to be raising Thanos. And as he begins to think about what's next for Cosmic Ghost Rider, he's met by Lady Death, who's like, thanks for teaching Thanos how to kill, which is apparently how it's always happened.
He's got like a kickstart, basically, from all the shit that he learned here.
Yeah, and Lady Death is like, this
he
is
really
what I always wanted.
He should have just went back in time and stopped himself from picking up Thanos. He'd be like, hey.
True.
And so then all that's wiped off.
Okay, maybe you back off a little bit. Yeah.
Here's my thing. Like, he realized that wasn't going to work. So Thanos is going to be an asshole no matter what.
Yeah.
At that point, why didn't he just revert back to original plan?
Just killing him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, okay, maybe I'm going to kill this baby.
Because he does mention, like,
because then you're a baby murderer, and you put that on Marvel pages.
He basically just says that. He's like, you know what? It's not up to me, basically. I'm going to let him, you know, sort out.
I know he's, like, wiped out an entire race, but babies is just way across. He puts the line.
He used to wipe out whole planets on the daily with Galactus. He killed group
babies, but Thanos babies?
Yeah, I guess he could have been thinking, like, well, this plan didn't go the way I thought it would go. If I kill him, there's no undoing that.
Yeah.
And what if it's, like, worse
And he's
than?
Trying to, like, grow as a person as well. He's like, you know, I'm not going to do this killing thing that much anymore, you know?
That much. Just
he probably,
a little killing.
He probably still will. But,
just on Fridays.
You know, it's like cutting back drinking.
Cheat day.
It's like you're like, you know, I'm never going to... I'm going to stop drinking. That's it. It's dumb.
You're going to have a cheat kill.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, sometimes it's a tough day and you just need a kill, you know?
I'm just going to have a couple kills.
Before bed.
Yeah. Help me go to sleep.
Yeah. Just don't let me drive after.
You just got to... Yeah, just got to meet a quota every month.
So, yeah, Lady Death is like, thanks for doing this thing that I... wanted you to do, and Frank's like, ah, shit. And he's like, well, I better go see if I can find some redemption somewhere else. And then he leaves to travel to the next book that he appears in, basically, which I think is another Donny Cates book.
Guardians?
Yeah.
So this is the end of this, like, run.
It was like a one trade thing.
Is Cosmic Ghost Rider, like, gone in continuity now?
I don't think so.
He's just out and about.
Well, there was. He appeared in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
And then he. Was in that Cosmic Ghost Rider fucks up the Marvel what was it called again?
Oh.
Erases Marvel history or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I think it's Destroys Marvel
history. Destroys Marvel history, yeah. And so maybe he's gone after that, but I don't know. I haven't read it.
That's got to be like...
Because I read the Ghost Rider stuff in the Guardians book.
I think that has to be like... at least the Marvel history one's got to be just like an Elseworlds kind of thing.
Probably
just like a what if, because I don't think he actually erases history.
I can't imagine it's canon.
Yeah, like they use that to move forward with Marvel as an imprint or a publisher.
But I really like how this changes the continuity, but it also doesn't affect it at all, because it just kind of like expands on like Thanos as a baby, which essentially nothing really changed, and then Thanos like really really far in history when he like wins.
Yeah.
So like the Thanos that we know, like that's basically all left untouched.
Right.
Which is kind of fun. I like that the continuity was like expanded in that way.
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity here for a baby Thanos.
Oh,
comic.
Yeah.
Oh, like, definitely.
I would read that.
That would be awesome.
Just like some origins like from
like what did 3 look like for him?
Yeah. What was preteen like?
How did he do in school?
Imagine a goth Thanos.
Oh man.
Listening to
probably
like
not
metal.
Very far from the Punisher shirt wearing Thanos.
Yeah, probably not.
Just smaller.
What's Thanos like in college?
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I think that's great. Just Thanos growing up. That's a great idea.
Are we going to go over Thanos Legacy 1?
I'm going to count that as back matter.
Okay.
Fair enough. We'll go into back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
So essentially, there's the first issue of Thanos Legacy number 1, which I think leads into a Marvel event that happens later.
Okay.
When Endgame was about to happen. So Marvel's like, we need to have a big, crazy Infinity Gauntlet event, basically.
Yeah.
And
Infinity again.
Yeah. You like the Infinity Stones? Well, here they are. Here they're in a book.
You want to read something that's kind of like the movie that's about to come out?
So basically, it's just like
here we go.
Thanos being Thanos, doing Thanos things, and then he gets murdered by Gamora. I don't think you know that in this issue, but it ends up being Gamora. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider comes in later and like pisses fire on him. Which is pretty cool. He pisses fire. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man.
About him.
It's got to be painful.
But yeah, that it basically just turns into Gamora has a big sword and she has the Infinity Gauntlet. But I never read that event, so I'm not really too sure what that's about. Thanos' brother comes in as well, who I forget the name.
Euros, I think.
Euros? Like the Greek food?
Euros, yeah.
No, EUROS, I think it's
Euros. Euros, okay.
Like the European currency.
Yes, yeah. Okay, perfect. But... after Thanos is dead and is like fully decapitated, his brother comes in and then he cuts out like this plot device, which is his will, apparently.
Yeah, his last will and testament.
Yeah, which I think might also tie into the Guardians run that Donny Cates did.
It totally does.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I haven't read it, but I had to like look into what happened next.
Because I remember that thing and I was like, that looks like an Omega symbol kind of like.
Yeah, it's pretty much a message from Thanos that like... sets everything in motion for the Guardians.
Yeah, because there's like a mystery that is in like the Guardians of the Galaxy comic, and it involves this thing, and I think it's Thanos putting his mind into somebody else or something.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. And there's somebody in that Guardians roster that has Thanos' mind in them. So it's kind of a fun like mystery trying to figure out who that is.
So there's like a panel where it just has like everyone sitting at the stage and Thanos like up front, and you have like Howard the Duck, that like Sparky, that dog or whatever, that
Cosmo.
Cosmo. Like there's this whole litany of people that Thanos wanted to come to the reading of his last will and testament.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much everybody.
Yeah. All the space guys.
That's what they say. Like, he's like, I put my spirit into somebody, figure out who it is.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what it's about.
It's a pretty fun idea. Like, there's Beta Ray Bill in there, all the normal Guardians that you like. It's got Cosmo. So, pretty fun book, but I didn't ever, like, finish it.
It seems
Do you want me to tell you the end?
Sure.
He put it in Euros.
Oh, wow.
So
it's easy.
So this is how it plays
out. So Euros takes it and puts it in himself?
No. Well, I don't know how it got into Euros. I haven't read the book per se, but I do know how it went.
Sure.
So it ends up being in Euros. They go through this whole thing where they need to find, return Thanos' head back to Euros so he can bring Thanos back to life.
Oh, yeah.
And then he starts doing that and gets stopped partway through. So Thanos comes back to life, but he's like 2/3 of himself, so he's kind of like a drooling idiot. So he's like useless, and ends up getting killed anyways.
Oh,
so.
Interesting.
Spoiler alert.
Good stuff. Well, I mean, the series was out a couple years ago, so.
I would have been disappointed at that ending, so I'm not going to read it. I'm glad I just kind of watched a summary.
I was enjoying the ride as I was reading it, because I was like, ooh, there's like a little mystery here, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, beyond that, it doesn't seem like it pans out super well. But then also, part of the back matter, we get some variants for each of the...
Oh, variant covers, you mean.
Some variant covers.
I'm in like, Loki mode.
Yeah.
you have to be specific.
Sorry, variant covers. So we got some pretty cool ones. Some of the people that I know are Declan Shalvey, and I think that's a pretty cool cover that he does. The number 3 variant.
This Jamal Campbell one for New York City something.
Comic-Con? New York Comic-Con?
New York Comic-Con, all right. Yeah. I was like, what's the other C?
But this,
that one's pretty cool, though.
This series had some pretty banger variants, honestly.
Superlog?
I have no idea.
Is that a person?
Maybe that's his pen name or whatever. But I like that cover, that cover too, because it shows the different parts of his cosmic bike. And it just it's just a normal bike, but it has cosmic in front of everything.
Right.
There's a cosmic tire, a cosmic light.
Cosmic pistons.
There's also a cosmic.
Yeah, there's one thing. It's just cosmic. It's pretty funny. But yeah. It's basically just some variants.
Like, it's not bad back matter since there's a whole another issue. But you know, just a couple variants.
Yeah, it's just basically something if you want to read more Ghost Rider, tells you kind of where to find them. So with that, we'll go into the pull list: : shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
All right, Lynn, what did you read or watch in the last week?
I am reading the Department of Truth.
Oh, do you like it?
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, it's like
love. So that's the
super interesting.
That's the guy that left Batman to go like exclusive on like a newsletter platform. I think that's still going to be coming out though. But I heard like a lot of good things.
Oh, it's good. I think they're on issue. I think issue 12 is coming up. I've read through issue 7 and it's been really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, it won like an award at the Eisner Awards.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
I can see why.
Getting some recognition. What's it about? Just a general pitch.
High level is,
no spoilers,
you know, if you like all the different conspiracies you can think of, so like JFK, Bigfoot,
the Denver airport,
you know, yeah, the Denver report, the back in the day, the whole Satanist scare where they were saying like government officials were eating babies in basements, things like that. So
okay, I thought that was confirmed,
but Flat Earth is in there. I think that's like one of the first ones. But anyways, the premise is if enough people think it's true, it becomes so.
No way.
Oh,
so
fuck.
The Department of Truth's role
Trump's
is
gonna
to
be president.
Kind of manage that. Like yeah. I haven't got far enough to really see what their role is or what their intention is, but it appears that they're trying to manage that and make sure these myths don't become true because enough people believe in them.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a really fun premise.
Yeah. It's
what a
pretty
fucking
cool
idea. That dude... How does he come up with the shit?
He has like a lot of really great ideas.
It's just really dark though.
We like dark. That cool. shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like the dark stuff, definitely check out Department of Truth.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I've been reading from him, The Nice House on the Lake, which is like a horror book. And essentially there's this like guy that gathers a bunch of his friends and stuff that he's known throughout his life. And they're just like people that have been nice to him, essentially. Mm-hmm. But he ends up being super rich and invites all of these friends. And then that's actually the day that the whole world dies, basically, like bursts into flames. And like they see it happening live on like television and everything, and they can't leave lake. And so they're like, how did this guy know that this is going to happen? Why does he have a safe spot? What's going on? And it's like that cast of people trying to figure out what's going on.
I mean, they kind of like helped him out, right?
Yeah, you're welcome.
He did, but they're like, why us? And like, why did you have this space? How did you know about this beforehand? Did you have a hand in this?
He probably killed the earth. That's why.
Yeah, he's like finding out.
It's like being nice to the school shooter.
Yeah. That's kind of what it felt like a little bit. But on the very like...
Well, if you're still in the
global
school,
scale, yeah.
You'd be nice.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So that's pretty cool.
Anything else, Lynn? We'll start with you.
Watching anything? Any movies? Any TV shows?
Oh, man. So I did check out Free Guy.
Oh, nice. Really?
So have you guys seen that?
No.
No, so it's... You obviously can't take it too serious, but...
Sure.
It's funny. I thought it would be a little funnier, but it was good. I would say it was good.
Okay.
It wasn't like, oh, my God, I love this movie. I probably won't watch it again, but...
Yeah.
It's, like, worth, you know, one watch through, for sure.
Especially... If, yeah. It seems like it would be worth if you're, like, a video game person, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, it really makes you think about, like, the dynamic of NPCs and, like, what if those were actual people and, you know, you're playing GTA and every now and then you're like, I'm just going to go rage mode and
kill start, this guy. Yeah.
So, no, it's a good movie, especially to your point. If you're a gamer, you'll love it.
That's awesome. So. What'd you pick up this week for comics, Daniel?
Ooh, let's see here. You know, I had one book that was on my list and, there were delays, so I wasn't able to get it. It was, an annual for Spider-Man Life Story.
Oh, I got that one.
You got that? What the fuck? He said all the stores in like Arizona were going to be like delayed. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, it was delayed, but by like a couple hours.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, so I picked up Spider-Man Life Story Annual by Chip Zdarsky.
Nice.
And Mark Bagley. So they came back for one more.
Sick. I guess. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so he's a guy that we had on our podcast. And
oh, really?
We actually had him on to talk about that story, which is... Spider-Man Life Story is what if Spider-Man, but he actually aged in real time.
Huh.
So it's like when he first debuted, he was like the normal teenage kid, but there's also like real life stuff happening. So the Vietnam War at the time.
Gotcha.
And things like that. But then each decade, there's the significant Spider-Man things that happen, but he's just getting older.
Oh, man. So do you get like old nursing home Spider-Man?
Almost. You get very old Spider-Man in the 2010s era.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there was like Civil War that happened in there.
So like Spider-Man in Vietnam? Like what's that like?
He wasn't in Vietnam, but it was like, it was when the war was happening and he has to decide, do I enlist or do I stay here?
Yeah, I guess because that was like super controversial.
Yeah, he's like, do I fight for like America or do I just like fight for the common man like in New York, you know, like how he has been?
Do I fight as like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man or do I fight like in the war? And then Eddie Brock ends up enlisting and stuff, so... There's like really interesting things like that, but then like the normal Spider-Man events, so like the Clone Saga happens and you get like Ben Reilly Spider-Man and all sorts of things. It's really good. I definitely recommend that one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just 6 issues, all self-contained. There's a really pretty trade. I think Daniel has it here somewhere, don't you?
Yep. You can't borrow it because you haven't returned the other trades that I gave you like years ago.
Oh, so here we go. Let's hash this out now. What
I
trades?
Do have a stack of comic books. So you can come by and like, or I'll bring them by.
Honestly, don't even fucking
let me know
what
which ones are yours. One of them was a Batman for sure.
I think I gave you like 3 Batman books, honestly.
Because maybe 3 of them are.
Because you just like started reading, I'm like, oh, you have to
read
these.
Feel the fire, like more comic nerds.
I think I gave him like Earth One. I gave him.
Oh, that's great.
The Man Who Laughs by Ed Brubaker.
Okay.
Which is super good. And then something else, but I can't remember. I was like looking at my bookshelf. I'm like, what's missing here?
So when we were getting our floors done, I was packing stuff up and I'm like, where are those comic books? And I found them. Like there's a stack of them. And I think some are yours and some are Corey's. So
that's funny.
I have
did he give you trades?
Back. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Yeah, that's the best
way. I'll
just
take some of his shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you've seen how many comics he has.
He won't be missing.
That's funny.
Anyway, I also got the first issue of Suicide Squad Get Joker.
Oh, cool.
Since there was that preview in King Shark, mm-hmm. I'm like, I fuck with this. It's where Red Hood is on the Suicide Squad, and they go hunt Joker. And I'm like, I'm about this.
I assume it's very much worth it.
Ooh, I also got Superman and Lobo.
I picked that up as well. Lobo.
Was that this week?
This week.
Oh, why the fuck did I get it? Because I went on, like, Tuesday.
Well, some DC comics stuff comes out on Tuesday now.
Oh.
So that's why you got
it. There's also other news about, like, DC's, all their shit was getting pushed back because of, like, supply chain issues.
Yeah.
They're running out of paper, I guess.
Which is strange.
I'm sure there's tons of things, but I don't know.
I'm sure there's a lot of factors, but yeah, a lot of stuff got pushed back a couple months, apparently. So there's going to be a couple light weeks coming up.
Right.
But yeah, I picked up the Spider-Man Life Story Annual, Superman and Lobo, Batman Reptilian number 3.
I got that too, yeah, actually.
Which is
I thought great. That was last week, so.
And then I picked up a fourth book, Chew number 7.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't get that. Really good stuff. I read Chew number 7, and that, I mean, it's just a super fun book. It's endlessly creative, I feel like. For it to be like a spin-off book off of a previous series that I had with the same premise,
mm-hmm.
It's really good. So we had the writer of the original series, Chew, C-H-E-W, and then one of the main characters is Tony Chu, spelled C-H-U, and his sister is the focus of the spin-off book. C-H-U is what it's called.
Huh.
So I would recommend looking Chu. Up Chu.
I feel like C-H-E-W. I've seen that on Comixology.
Yeah, it's like, always like recommended. As
it's
like
always a, like those essential ones yeah. that you have to read. It's just like it's such a unique thing in comics, especially with you just being used to like Marvel and DC stuff and then dark shit like...
Yeah,
Department of Truth.
It's and like it's unlimited.
It is.
A lot of it's
definitely
yeah.
definitely picked it up. It's like probably my favorite independent book of all time.
The writer lives in like Gilbert.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we've had him on like twice for the first trade of that and the first trade of the spinoff book.
Yeah,
so he's a cool guy. His name is John Lehman. Shout out John Lehman.
What a guy!
Sweet, I'll check it out.
So I read Chew and then I read the Superman and Lobo, which is a very fun book.
I haven't read it yet, but I've heard about it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's I can see why you'd hear about it on Twitter. There's a lot of statement in there, clearly, about how misinformation travels on social media platforms.
Yep.
And Lex Luthor owns like a social media platform where misinformation specifically goes. And so it's basically Lobo partnering with a couple bad guys to cancel Superman or at least bring down his popularity.
Oh, man.
And then people are like, Lobo's also a guy from an alien from a planet who got his planet destroyed, but I like him better. Basically. Yeah. So it's like a pretty big statement on like choosing two sides of whatever. So
Lynn, they have
it's very good.
The people in this comic, some of them I identify as anti-savers.
Yeah.
So they just don't want to be saved by Superman, and they don't think they need to be saved by Superman.
They don't think they need to be saved.
So it's basically just like anti-vax people.
Like I can save myself type thing?
Yeah, like God will save me or something.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's a huge, like, it's a really funny satire on anti-vaxxers and stuff like that. So it's really funny for that reason. Or it's people excellent. That are like, Superman didn't ask me to get saved and things like that. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty funny. Or like, Superman didn't ask me if I was afraid of heights before he flew me away. So it's really fun.
My body,
respect.
My choice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So beyond that, I played a really fun video game called 12 Minutes.
Oh, my God. And you're playing that too?
Yes. Are you playing it?
Have you beat it? Yeah. I played it for like 5 hours over the weekend.
Dude, it fucks you
played
you
a game called 12 stop. Minutes for 5 hours.
So yeah. Here's the premise. It's an indie game, but they have some pretty sweet voice actors. James McAvoy.
Wow.
Daisy Ridley.
No shit.
Willem Dafoe.
Okay.
Those are the three like main characters in there. Uh-huh. And essentially it's like a crime thriller that's stuck in like a time loop. So you're like a guy that comes back from home or comes back from work to his home, and your wife like makes a special dessert, and you're having dessert and you find out that she's pregnant. So you got a baby on the way, and there's like all these things that are happening, and then after a couple minutes, a cop comes to the door, breaks it down, accuses your wife of murdering her own father, and then punches you to knock you out. And when you get knocked out, the day restarts. So now you're like living that same scenario over and over again every couple minutes until the cop shows up, and you're trying to figure out, did my wife murder her own father? Who is this cop? How does he know? Things like that. And you're like doing these different things every single time in the loop to try and get more information.
Ah, it's like Edge of Tomorrow.
Exactly.
Or Palm Springs.
Or Groundhog Day, or whatever you want to equate it to. It's just like a time loop story, but it's really, really interesting.
Okay.
How far, what have you done in it?
Oh, man.
Apparently nothing.
So I've gotten to the point where I know about her having a brother, which I'm guessing
okay.
is...
Okay, so you're very
far close
along.
To the end? Are you? Yeah. Did you finish it?
I finished it, but I had to like look up a guide because I was going insane.
I've been very tempted to look up a guide, and like when I start watching it, once I see the next
shit.
Step beyond where I'm at, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to finish the rest by myself. I'll just do that. So
that's exactly what. There's a really good guide that's like non-spoilery if you're like really, because there's like events that happen, like there's thunderstorms that happen, and there's like you can drug your wife, and then also you can mess with so many different
drug
situations.
Your pregnant wife.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
There's like a faulty light switch that makes the cop like pass out, which gives you time to like
I had
handcuff
no,
him.
That's the part I had to look up. How am I supposed to know the like cop gets knocked out from like the electricity problem?
So the first thing I tried was when he comes in or when I walk in and she's still in the bathroom, I just went straight to the closet. So I got like a lot of the story early.
Really.
And then I saw in the cabinet there was sleeping pills, so I'm like, I must need to use those. So I gave her that, and she passed out, and then I hid in the closet.
Yeah.
And that's when he went in there and got zapped. So I actually got those two things, like, pretty early.
Oh, that took me hours. Like, I never thought to just hide in general, but, like, as soon as I found out the sleeping pills were a thing, I would just do the thing where you, like, give the sleeping pills to your wife, and then I would try every single fucking combination possible, because I'm like, these have to mean something. So I would get, like, stuck in a loop like that. Like, I'd, like, put the watch out on, like, the kitchen table and be like, oh, maybe he wants that, and then, like, all sorts of things. So it's really easy to get stuck, but at the end, it is fucking mind-boggling.
It took me forever to figure out... So, like, I figured out where the watch was, because first thing I did was hide in the closet, and that gets revealed. So I went in there... And that's how I found the pills, but I didn't realize like the grate is like all the way down in that little section of the bottom. So I'm like, how do I get under the medicine cabinet? I can't see down there. But I've gotten that's like the last thing I figured out. So I have the watch and
you're basically done. If you get stuck in a particular spot, just like text me and I'll tell you what to do because it's very specific. But yeah, it's a really fun game. Like literally, Daniel, the whole game is like living room, bathroom, closet, and bedroom.
Exhilarating.
That's like the whole game. But there's like so many things you could do. Like you have to convince your wife that you're in a time loop.
So when you're talking to her, does it give you, is it like a telltale thing where it gives you options?
It gives you options to choose
from. It's not like you can just figure it out in the first go.
No.
Like you like have
you're
to
gonna
do
have
it.
To get multiple, information in certain loops. Like I think the minimum amount of loops that you can
because
do
because there's
the whole
only
game
so much time.
The like minimum amount of loops that you can do the game in is like 8. So like one loop you have to find out information here, another loop you have to find out information here. But there's like one loop where you have to convince your wife that you're like stuck in a time loop and you're like, I know that you're going to surprise me with a baby.
12 minutes is not enough for that.
Yeah. And you're like, I know you're going to convince me with a baby. There's going to be thunder like in 5 seconds, even though we weren't expecting thunder tonight. And it's going to be like, our song's going to play on the radio. And like you start to like gather all this information that the game like helps you like lead to. It's really fun.
So then you like kind of walk around the rooms and like click on stuff to get clues. I think I'd just rather watch like a perfect playthrough, honestly.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Because it sounds like a great movie.
And then it's annoying because like I don't know how many times I went to the refrigerator, but it was like the 100th trip when I noticed you could click on the Polaroid.
Yeah,
like,
there's like
oh,
a picture.
Shit.
I had no idea you could do anything with Polaroid. And did you know that you could like shoot the cop? Because I didn't.
Well, once
for like
he's,
more information once he's knocked
well,
out.
Well, yeah, once he's down, yeah.
Because, like, I would... Did you ever try and use the knife on yourself to see what happened?
No, but I did try to take the sleeping pills myself, and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I tried to, like... I was going crazy figuring out what to do with the knife. Because I'm like, do I kill my wife? Does that do something? Do I kill myself?
Well, that does
so
do something.
I used the knife on myself, and my guy's, like, about to, like, stab himself with it, like, seppuku style or whatever. And he's like, ah, I can't. And I'm like, God damn it, what do I do? So, yeah, it's pretty fun, but you can get stuck in, like... little things like that, trying to figure out every combination.
Okay.
But it is a fun game.
Anything else that you experienced?
Just What If.
Just What If? Okay. I read more of I Hate Fairyland.
Oh, great.
Because I have the hardcovers. You know how, like, some shows, like, when they, like, have, like, a cliffhanger and then it's just resolved, like, the next episode?
Is that what happened with Trade 2?
Yeah. It's like, she was, like, the queen of Fairyland and the next one she's just not because she was really bad at it. And so I'm like, okay, and she's just back on her way,
what
like trying to figure
Gertrude?
Out. Gertrude, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That shit's great. You should read that as well. I don't know if it's unlimited or anything, but... And then I watched a Jake Gyllenhaal movie. It's called Nocturnal Animals.
Cool.
And I'm going to describe it really quickly, just based off of the people that are in it and their superhero roles.
They're superheroes?
Mm. Yes. Okay. So Lois Lane, who was married to Mysterio.
These are the, you're naming who these characters are based off of?
No, who's, so like the actors in the movie played superhero
characters. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So Lois Lane has an ex-husband, Mysterio, who writes a book about her getting murdered and okay. sends it to her. And the detective in the book is played by General Zod, basically.
Okay.
And the person who killed her in the book is Kick-Ass / Quicksilver. And I think that, and then also like fucking, who's the guy who was about to be Batman in that Justice League Immortal like movie?
What?
Who's the dude who made Mad Max? George Miller?
George Miller?
Yeah, remember how he was going to make like a Justice League movie?
Oh, with...
Justice League Immortal?
With Armie Hammer?
Yeah, Armie Hammer's in it too.
Okay.
But anyway, I watched that. It was pretty good. I know you said you're going to watch like all the Jake Gyllenhaal movies eventually.
Eventually I will, yeah.
That one's like pretty solid. I liked it a lot.
Sweet.
Anyway, let's just get into it. What do you say? Nathan, our trusty co-host, did not watch episode 2 last week, so we'll go over that.
It's pretty good.
What do you mean it was pretty good?
Pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It's fantastic. What do you mean?
I think that...
It was fantastic.
I think in the order that they've come out, I've enjoyed them more and more. So I liked episode 3 more than episode 2.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Really? You guys... Okay, interesting.
Dude, I thought the second one was... I'm like, how the fuck do you beat this?
I was like, yeah, that was pretty fun, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, so T'Challa... What if T'Challa is Star-Lord? And I think there's a lot of really fun ideas there.
Yeah, and he just like...
He's a much better Star-Lord.
He's a much better Star-Lord.
Like everything Peter Quill wanted to be.
He stops Thanos by just talking to him.
Yeah, he's like, you know what, let's just talk this out. And then Thanos becomes like a big bro, basically, a part of the team.
I just love how like Thanos was actually trying to argue his logic.
Yeah.
It's more efficient.
He still kind of believes it, but he's like, all right, I get what you're coming from.
There's probably characters like that, just like, you know. And so it was like kind of believable. Like the Ravengers are good. They're part of like the Nova Corps. Like they have like a little patch on their jackets and shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the Ravengers are supposed to be like a good, like,
no, corporation. They're like
but the
bounty
ones,
hunters, basically.
Yeah, but they turn into that after the actual Ravagers like exile them for picking up a kid. Mm-hmm. So the Ravagers that we know, which is just Yondu's group, but the Sylvester Stallone Ravagers are like their own.
Like mailmen.
Sure.
Okay. And then we got like, I call it the Swolector, like the collector, just fucking jacked.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I'm like, he's that big under that all
guy,
that.
That guy's an ape, dude. He
yeah,
is freaking
was
huge.
Crazy. I like that. I love that shit. It was crazy. It
yeah,
was
Howard the Duck had a great role in it as well, which I wasn't expecting.
Just giving directions and shit.
Yeah, he's like, if you just go down here, and then eventually he was just like, you know what, you just come with me. Yeah. And I was like, yes. So I did enjoy that a lot.
And then just the team was just like, it included that one guy. The one black guy who, like, got killed by Star-Lord.
Yeah. I just know the actor.
What's his name?
It's, like, Jimon Hansu or something.
Maybe you're talking about the guy that was, like, all...
He's, like, fangirly.
Yeah.
But in, like, the original, he's, like, who?
Who? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a great thing as well.
Anyway, you're wrong. Episode 3.
Yeah. I just, like...
What
murder
if...
Murder mysteries.
Yeah, whodunits.
Yeah, whodunits.
What if the Avengers never were, or whatever?
And this one, like, works... This one's more believable to, like, for me, I guess. It's not like I thought that the other one wasn't believable, but, like, thinking about this one that came out this week just made sense to me.
Yeah.
So the idea is, like, all the Avengers in the original Avengers roster are, like, dying or don't come to, I don't know, fight. Whatever
yeah.
Thing.
Like, yeah,
they're not
yeah.
part of the Avengers initiative. And
they all get killed. Like, Black Widow accidentally kills Tony Stark and Hulk blows up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
just fucking Hawkeye kills Thor.
Which is funny.
Yeah, because like in comics, he kills the Hulk too. So Hawkeye's the best Avenger, obviously.
Yeah, easily. The most powerful Avenger.
Yeah.
What, like, I don't know. I wasn't convinced with how Thor died. Like,
I mean, I think
an
if
arrow
an arrow...
Because in Thor, in the first Thor, he's like immortal again because he's exiled. He's not worthy anymore. So he's not like a god, basically, anymore. So
okay.
he's like a...
Okay.
He's basically just a normal guy, which is why when the arrow goes in him, he dies.
Gotcha.
Also, I'm like able to just immediately tell who they recast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
if
you guys have that same radar.
I had to look up like Black Widow because that one was pretty good, I thought.
Black Widow was like really good, and I was like, maybe they did get her back. And then there's like a couple lines where I'm like, definitely not her.
And then Captain Marvel was in it for like a word. So I was like, oh, that's not her.
Well, the guy that voiced Iron Man sounds like just like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, but I was able to tell that it wasn't him either.
It was all like impressionists, basically.
Yeah. I thought for a second there Loki wasn't Tom Hiddleston, because it sounded like someone really trying to do an impression of Tom Hiddleston. Like, there's a lot of like inflections in his voice and everything.
It was like Tom Hiddleston really trying to do Loki.
Like, yeah, it was like him like really...
It's him doing like Thor 1 Loki, where he's like a lot less casual.
Yeah, yeah, so... But yeah, the acting is really good. Like, Samuel Jackson's great in it. He obviously has like voice acting experience from like Incredibles and stuff. But
oh yeah,
but like everybody else was pretty good, honestly.
Yeah,
Mark Ruffalo and all that.
I loved how they had just the Watcher like far in the background.
Yeah,
in
a couple that was of those. Great.
That's really cool. Loved that. I'm like, does no one notice this? Like, does no one look up?
Like, what the hell? Like,
holy shit! Yeah. Or maybe it's just like normal there. I don't know.
No, but I really liked that like imagery though. It is really cool.
Yeah. So, did you guys have any other predictions on like who it was? Cuz I thought it was like Loki at one point. I was like, maybe he's just fucking with everybody.
I think that's supposed to be like what you think, cuz he's obviously the villain of Avengers.
Right.
Like, normally. Yeah. For a while there, I thought it was going to be like Crossbones for a bit there.
Maybe.
Because I saw the scope when Hulk gets shot, and I'm like, okay, so it's someone that uses guns. But then, like, I didn't put it together until she said Hope.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, who the fuck is Hope? I just, like, that just did not... I haven't rewatched, like, the second Ant-Man, like, since it came out. So, yeah. Like, that wasn't, like, fresh to me.
Well, Hope is in the first Ant-Man.
Right. But they don't say her name as often.
For a second there, I was like, Hope. And I was like, Hope Summers?
Like, I was like...
The random X-Men?
I was like, is that Iron Man's daughter's name?
No.
I thought it was Mephisto.
Honestly. Yeah. It must be Mephisto, yeah. All right, what was your guys' favorite death? Mine has to be the Hulk, because he just blows up.
You know, I didn't like that. You know what I mean? Because, like, I just didn't know that could happen. And then it's just like, would that even kill him?
Well, what did they do that? Like, did he...
So he threw one of the, like, the growy...
particles.
The growy, like, disc thing.
Oh, so his heart just grew and exploded his body?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
I think what he should have done is flown up his butt and then grown real big. Just like he should have done with Thanos. From
like how Endgame should have happened.
Yeah, like that should be a what if.
Right.
But no, yeah, he went into his bloodstream and threw a little pin particle thing so he'd blow up.
Oh, man.
Which...
I don't know. A lot of them are kind of like
that
dumb.
Was the most creative one. The others were just. I mean, what happened to Iron Man? I know he like jumped in there. Did he just like go?
So I guess the shit that the antidote that they were going to give him was swapped out for something lethal.
Well, no, he was in there. So he was in the needle instead of the antidote, because they said the antidote never came out.
Oh,
he just
right.
Jumped through into Iron Man's neck and
just killed him that way.
Like, just
okay.
And then Hawkeye died too.
They just didn't even like. Expand on that. He's just dead.
He's
just
dead.
So probably Thor.
They did explain how he died.
He like flew into his
like ear or whatever.
Something, yeah,
and they punched his brain or something.
But like, did you guys think that like Hawkeye was gonna shoot Thor in that scene?
Cause yeah.
As soon as it was set up, I'm like, Hawkeye kills Thor. That's
I was like,
awesome.
he's just gonna like let it go.
Yeah.
Like it slips because it's raining and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, I really like how Agent Coulson's like password was like, I want to suck Steve Rogers cock or whatever, like whatever that was, like
Steve inside me.
Steve, please love
me. Man, how did he describe him at the beginning? And then he's like, what? And he's like, the description's accurate.
Yeah, he's got gorgeous. Great hair.
He's got beautiful hair. Yeah. And then he's like smelling him,
like, yeah, just, like he smells like lavender.
Why is Coulson so obsessed in this? I don't know.
But if you remember in Guardians, it was like the same thing. They were just like fangirling over him when he was like unconscious.
Same energy. Yeah. But it makes sense. So the reveal is like it's Hank Pym, because Hope dies under Nick Fury's S.H.I.E.L.D. mission, whatever.
And yeah.
I think it really makes sense that it's him, because do you remember in Ant-Man 1 where Yellowjacket goes crazy because he's using the unstable Pym particles and it's supposed to make you go crazy a little bit?
Yes.
I think in this, what if he just keeps using those Pym particles that are unstable and making him go crazy? So
yeah.
when his daughter dies, he just, that's like the final straw and he goes crazy.
And he's also been like Yellow Jacket, like in continuity, which is cool.
Yeah. So I think it made a lot of sense, and it would make sense that they wouldn't know it would be happening because you can't see him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was it seems more realistic of a branch off in reality to me, that like it makes sense that something like this could happen.
Sure.
So I really liked it for that reason. But as soon as like that final fight happened where Hank Pym's like fighting Nick Fury, I'm like,
I thought he was that much of a badass for a second.
I'm like, he does a flip, yeah, and I'm like, okay, cool, he can do flips.
Once he did that, I'm like,
I don't know,
that's Loki.
I was fine with I was fine with
I didn't even
flip.
Think about that.
I was fine with the flip, but as soon as he like starts slapping him around, I'm like, in the context of this universe, he's still as dense as like a full man. So he, I don't think Nick Fury is able to like slap a full man
unless he slaps him first. You know,
I don't know how it works, but he's like punching him out of the air and slapping him, and I'm like, why couldn't just Black Widow do it?
Yeah,
but
so that was cool that he like kind of helped him out with that,
mm-hmm.
and then like immediately he like takes over the world. He goes to the UN. I'm like, okay,
kind of backfired a little bit, but at least they resolved that one thing.
yeah.
So, yeah, I had a ton of fun with this one.
And then he thaws out Captain America and gets Captain Marvel, and they take him down, basically.
Be two captains.
So,
two
like, caps. What's happening with all these cliffhangers at the end? Is there going to be, like, a culmination where...
No.
Or is there, it I just... think
there might be.
Because
that could be Captain Carter, Captain America. Like, the shield could have gotten frozen, maybe.
Well, no, because, like, in the first Captain Carter episode, she's, like, goes through that portal.
With her shield?
Yeah, she's not frozen.
Okay, yeah, she shows up in what,
like basically
Fury
Avengers.
And what's his face Barton. Standing there?
Yeah. Barton, yeah. Oh, yeah, but then Barton's in this universe.
This would
huh?
be so fucking crazy for it to all just be in one universe.
It might.
Well, it really could, because these are just alternate timelines.
Okay, so there's nothing that contradicts it so far.
But it doesn't even need to make sense in continuity. It could just be Uatu, like the Watcher, being like, oh man, something's really fucked up in this timeline. Let me grab Captain Carter, this Captain Marvel. Like, he's interacting when he shouldn't be, but he's doing it to, like, save a particular timeline, and he's taking, like, the other episode
that
characters.
That could definitely happen, but I just think it's going to be the anthology that it is. It's,
I hope,
like, one-off
episodes.
It is.
He keeps emphasizing that he can't interfere, which he
does.
Has before.
He's the worst at his job, yeah.
So I feel like he is going to interfere, and there's going to be some, like, big culmination at the end where, like what you were saying, he just starts bringing people in.
That last episode would be fucking nuts, then.
And, like, it's like a cosmic team.
Like, the last episode is going to be like, what if Uatu is bad at his job?
Yeah. Do you guys know who Uatu's favorite superhero is?
Superman.
Deadpool.
Really?
Have you read the Killogy?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, if you do, you'll find out that it's like Deadpool killing all of the Marvel characters, where he's trying to like...
Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
read
it's
that.
Like the Killogy has that, and then like
all
more
the other
stacked onto it.
So like the Punisher fights the Marvel Universe or whatever?
Yeah.
One on there?
Well, there's also Deadpool kills Deadpool, which is like another thing. Is that in there?
Oh, I see what you mean.
So it's
okay,
all
yeah.
Deadpool killing a ton of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but in that you find out that Uatu... like loves Deadpool, and he has like a Deadpool shirt. It's
that's
like,
so
it's
funny.
Pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Hilarious. Yeah, I hope it does like stay an anthology, but it would make sense if they wanted like tie it all together at the end. I just
I want
don't
it
want
to
that
tie together.
I just
that'd
don't
be
want,
so,
I want
it tied together. That'd be too much. But then again, I don't think I can say that they won't do that.
I assume you know they
I
mean? Will. I would
need
just
to
be
know
cool if it was
what happens with Peter Quill now. Like I want that story to finish.
Oh,
so at
I think
the end
he probably just takes him, and then he just does whatever his dad says, and then they take over the universe.
I want to see that.
I just told you what happens. Why do you want to watch that?
I want to see how it plays out.
I want to see it in their animation.
I guess it's possible in like a season two that they could follow up on all these things, but I'd rather just have more what if stories because there's hundreds out there.
I also like that they're not following the same formula of like the first What If episode, where it's just like, what if it was the Captain America 1 movie but a different person?
Oh,
like I mean this was like three movies basically that they're referencing.
Well, they were referencing a couple different movies, but it was its own story. I was afraid that each one was going to be like, what if this movie but something was tweaked, and then you like see the same movie played out.
What if the Hulk was yellow, so it's just the same movie but
nothing changes.
Because the first one is the only one that I thought had like poor pacing, just because it went really fast.
Yeah,
but the rest of them, I think,
I agree,
worked out really well.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what other ones are coming out?
I think Marvel Zombies is like the sixth one. I looked at this the other day, and then like the fourth one has like Doctor Strange in it.
Yeah, the next one.
I looked at just
like
the promo image on Disney Plus.
Evil Doctor Strange.
There's like Gamora, but she's holding the double blade Thanos weapon in Endgame.
Huh.
So I'm like, I wonder what that's about.
What if Gamora is the Mad Titan or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Here's Thor in here doing something.
Spider-Man's wearing like a Doctor Strange cloak.
Yep.
Something. So
I hope they just... I know they could do whatever they want with the Marvel Zombies thing, because it's normally based in the MCU at some point. But I really just want them to do
Marvel
like
Zombies.
Marvel Zombies. Like,
yeah.
Like, how does that come about? In, like, that's a comic book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's another,
how do,
like,
they become zombies?
There's just, like, a meteor or
there's
something.
There's a virus.
Okay.
It's like, happens. It's not a... It just kind of starts off where everyone's zombies.
It's not like a Reality Stone situation where someone's you're zombies.
You don't really see it happen unless there's like an origin of it, but the story literally starts of like Magneto trying to run away from all the people that are already zombies. So like basically everybody is a zombie at this point.
And they're like full power. They still have all their same abilities.
But they're still like decaying.
Zombies.
Yeah, so like Mr. Fantastic is like stretchy a little bit. And like... Giant Man is like a big zombie, but that means he has more appetite. It's really good. The guy that made The Walking Dead did Marvel Zombies before he did Walking Dead.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
So that's a and fun Invincible fact. And Oblivion Song.
Yeah.
So he's a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
That's all I got.
Is that all we got?
I think so.
And then we got Shang-Chi next week.
Yeah, we do. So we're going to have to read a Shang-Chi thing.
Make sure you get me the deets.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, welcome to the first official episode of Trade Waiters Podcast.
What are we going to read next week?
So I suggested we read this free Shang-Chi one on Comixology. That's volume one called Brothers and Sisters. It's by Jean Luen Yang.
Yep.
Art by Dyke Ruin and Philip Tan. Cover by Jim Chung.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, good, because I already started it. Anyway.
So that'll be next week in anticipation for the Shang-Chi movie.
Yeah, we'll talk about that like in two episodes, because we wouldn't have seen it at that point.
Oh, yeah, true.
So.
That's the episode for this week.
You can email us at tradeverspod@gmail.com, on Twitter, tradeverspod.
I'm on Twitter at more like Nathick.
I'm Dan Antibidad. Okay, yep. We know Nathan.
Yep.
Do you want to plug any of your socials, Lynn?
I think I'm BigLynn65 on Twitter.
Alrighty.
Follow Yondu the Rescue Pug on Instagram.
Yeah, follow my pug. He's awesome.
He is.
And his name's Yondu, so.
Yeah, he was in that second What If episode.
Oh, yeah.
Your pug.
Definitely. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep, thanks for listening. Thank you, Lynn, for being on.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Peace.